Serenity prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.
The Al-Anon family groups are a fellowship of relatives and friends of alcoholics who share their experience, strength, and hope in order to solve their common problems. We believe alcoholism is a family illness and that changed attitudes can aid recovery. Al-Anon is not allied with any sect, denomination, political entity, organization, or institution, nor does not engage in any controversy, neither endorses or opposes any cause. There are no dues for membership. Al-Anon is self-supporting through its own voluntary contributions. Al-Anon has but one purpose, to help families of alcoholics. We do this by practicing the 12 steps, by welcoming and giving comfort to families of alcoholics, and by giving understanding and encouragement to the alcoholic. This is the suggested preamble to the 12 steps.
Hi, I'm Ben, grateful member of Al-Anon. Workshop opening. One of the simple practices I've used over the years to sustain my willingness to attend meetings is making a commitment to perform one job related to the group, whether serving coffee, putting out literature, acting as a treasurer, or filling the position of secretary. Clearly, agreeing to speak at a meeting is also an excellent incentive for attendance. In this way, I remove all debates about whether I have the time, the energy, or the willingness to attend by simply recognizing that I have a job to do. While performing my chosen task, I'm assured that I am part of a gathering where, however imperceptibly, hearts are being healed. Many members find that Al-Anon service provides welcome, healing benefits. Service offers many of us a new experience in group participation. No longer isolated, we share a common welfare with other Al-Anon members and also with people still seeking help. A common bond unites us despite our many differences. As we reach out, carrying Al-Anon's message of hope, we look for confirmation that our actions, in fact, support our common welfare. For guidance and support, we turn to the traditions and strive to practice our program's concept of obedience to the unenforceable. The traditions offer guidance for our efforts, but we have individual responsibility for applying them. As we apply the traditions to our actions, we notice that these precepts for preserving unity can be applied to other experiences and other relationships. Our families, friends, businesses, and communities all provide fertile ground for practicing the principles of our traditions. And as we do so, we find ourselves growing by leaps and bounds. In reaching out to others, through Al-Anon service, we have the opportunity to share our unique experience and our personal recovery for a common good. We have the chance to encourage detachment, acceptance, and serenity in a supportive environment and to get to know ourselves better, both strengths and weaknesses in the process. We have the opportunity to contribute not only what we can do, but more important, who we can be. By sharing our recovery, we strengthen its workings in our own lives. By seeking to allow a higher power to work in and through us, we come to feel more fully the presence of that power. In giving, we receive. This is from when I got busy, I got better, pages 7 through 8, 38, 55 through 56.
Thank you so much, Ben. Much appreciated. And I have asked Suzanne from New Jersey to read the March reading.
March reading, tradition 2. For our group purpose, there is but one authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. When I began actively participating in my group, I noticed that other members responded to my efforts with encouragement and appreciation. No one insisted I arrange furniture in a certain way, perform as secretary with aplomb and clarity, or prepare the world's finest coffee. Members treated me gently, not only out of courtesy, but out of deference to the second tradition. I was functioning as a trusted servant, and no group member was attempting to assume authority by directing or controlling my efforts. I began to lose my fear of criticism and to speak more easily in contributing to the group conscience. I too could take part in expressing the love of a higher power in the affairs of my group. I felt encouraged to cooperate as an equal with others. In my life outside Al-Anon, I don't participate in many groups that even acknowledge a higher power as a presence in group activities, let alone recognize it as a sole authority. I do, however, participate in groups that operate on the basis of discussion, majority votes, and sometimes even consensus. In all these groups, and especially in my dealings with family and friends, I feel free to include my sense of a loving higher power in my personal deliberations. Sometimes, of course, this sense is stronger than others. My human ability to express the will of a higher power is limited. Even so, the guidance and encouragement of the second tradition has opened up avenues to participation that now extend well past my contributions and service. From When I Got Busy, I Got Better, pages 39 to 40.
Thank you very much. Let me pull my script back up. So each of our three panelists will share for about 15 minutes, and the rest of the time will be used for your questions and possibly brief shares. So remember, any sharings are solely the opinion of the member and not that of the Arizona area or Al-Anon as a whole. So now I would like to introduce our first speaker, who is Cindy B. from Tucson. Go ahead and unmute and share. Thank you, Cindy.
Good evening, everybody. It's so good to be of service tonight. You know, when I first came to Al-Anon, I attended Al-Anon meetings in the Lano Club, and they had the Al-Anon and AA steps and traditions on the wall. And I would sit there and look at them over and over, week after week. And I would say to myself, okay, the steps seem to make sense, but the traditions, just, I don't get it. Well, I wasn't meant to get it till I was meant to get it. And sponsor early on explained to me that the steps are to help us individually, the traditions are to help us with our meetings, and concepts are to help us with service. And I've studied all three, and I'm grateful that I've done in-depth studies of them. So one of the points to talk about was obedience to the unenforceable. You know, Lois Wilson said that Al-Anon is a fellowship of equals held together in close union by obedience to the enforceable, which means that every group conducts Al-Anon's group business using the spiritual principles stated in our traditions, which everyone accepts and follows of their own free will, without being directed or compelled by anyone. We all agree to a loose framework of behavior, which makes the meeting safe for everyone and where we feel comfortable, useful, and hopeful. And the first time I heard that said, I was like, okay, whatever. Well, you know, the longer I go to meetings, the more I realize this is really critical. Meetings that don't abide by this, I don't attend. When I first moved to Tucson 7.5 years ago, I knew I had to get to meetings immediately because that's part of my self-care. And I went to 3 or 4 meetings in the first couple weeks, and I still go to 2 of those meetings. To me, meetings that don't, this is just my opinion only, meetings that don't abide by the traditions are not a safe place for me to be because it brings out all my character defects. So, you know, I happen to notice today on social media that today is Lois Wilson's birthday, and hooray for Lois Wilson, because boy, oh boy, she really had the right idea when She realized she needed to help, at the time, wives of alcoholics. It was primarily men, Bill's friends and Dr. Bob's friends. And so, you know, obedience to the unenforceable, that's, you know, it's, you know, the unseen member is God. You know, the second tradition talks about our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. And they talk about God as we understand God. And I'm grateful. I mean, I have a very specific idea of who God is, but somebody else's idea of God might be completely different, and that's okay. And I'm glad that the meetings I went to in the beginning talked about how we don't bring in specific religious sects. They always read the three obstacles to success in every Al-Anon meeting, and that talks about discussions of religion, gossip, and dominance. And so at first, I would be a little offended if somebody else's higher power was something squirrely, in my opinion. Well, I know who God is. I know exactly who God is. Well, it doesn't matter in a meeting of Al-Anon. It's not the place to worry about that. It's, you know, and I'm grateful that the steps and traditions were written that way. You know, God is, we understand God. It can be different to everybody, and that's okay. Because we're not in Al-Anon. I'm not in an Al-Anon meeting to talk about religious differences. I'm in an Al-Anon meeting because I want to be around people who are sharing their experience, strength, and hope, and how they deal with the cunning, baffling, and powerful and dangerous disease of alcoholism. That's the common thread. And that's what's really important to me. You know, and my higher power helps me all the time. I met with a friend today and we were reading from some literature and just talking about how when you try to force a solution, particularly in that of the life of your child, I have three children, I have this great idea and it's going to really help them and it's going to put their life on the right track. And I suggest it, and I get a look like my son used to say when he's a teenager, none ya, mom, which means none your business. So he'd say, none ya, and I go, fair enough. So, you know, if I just let God do what God does best, and if I just let realize, Al-Anon has taught me that my adult children, even when they were little, even though I was their mom, I was their mommy, they have a higher power of their own understanding. And I know for a fact, one of my children, their higher power is nothing like mine, which was shocking to me when we had a conversation and I asked him, you know, asked him the question. He said, well, no, mom, it's this. And at first I was kind of offended. Well, I raised you better than that. And then I didn't say that. I thought it. And I thought, you know, he's a grown man. He's going to be 33 years old next month. I am. Once he turned 18, he was no longer. I didn't need to be his mommy anymore. I didn't even need to be his mommy once he turned 7 in his life. So, you know, how does tradition 2 help me let go of my need to control? That's an ongoing challenge for somebody like me. That was one of my, I had no idea that was a major character defect, but it certainly was. And early on in program, a very wise woman that I absolutely adore said, you know, control is a setting on the dryer. It's an illusion. It's not something to strive for. When I personally try to force my solution, I get feedback that's not cheerful. And you know, it's okay. I mean, if I just know that God is ultimately in charge, my higher power is ultimately in charge. And so I run everything through that filter. You know, got this challenge about this thing. And the old me before program would have just went off and run with it and wreaked havoc everywhere I went and left, you know, this wake of destruction. And now it's like, huh, I have this issue. Let me talk to God about it. Let me pray about it. Let me sit on it for a day. And that's growth, because I couldn't let anything sit. I had to really get in there, jump on it, try and make it happen, try and force my outcome, which the best outcome for me is not the best outcome for somebody else. You know, even my children, even my husband, even my my sister. I'm not God. I stopped second guessing God a long time ago, because a lot of times I'll say, okay, God, I really need you to work this out. And God says, well, I've already worked it out. Yeah, but God, you need to kind of add this to the equation. And God goes, I've already worked it out. It's like, man. So, you know, my God has a sense of humor to deal with somebody like me. That's like, okay, God, I think there's this really great solution for my daughter. I have my youngest daughter lives here in Tucson. It's part of the reason we moved here. And this is my precious little girl. This is my girl that when she was right after she turned 18, she tried to kill herself. And then we got her some help. And she finished high school barely slid that in, and then decided to start doing reckless things. And, you know, one of the gifts of going to Al-Anon is hearing other people share their experience, strength, and hope. And a very dear friend of mine shared that when her son was dealing with his disease, he almost OD'd a couple times. And what her sponsor said to her was, you've got to surrender him to the God of his understanding, even if it results in his death. And I remember I wept when I heard that. And she wept when she heard it. Her son today has 15 years clean and sober. So when my precious little girl started doing crazy, reckless things, I knew to call that woman. And we were on the phone for 2 hours, and she kept saying that to me over and over, and I kept crying and crying, and I finally got to the place where I could surrender her. So fast forward, that young woman is the mother of my two grandsons, and her mental illness rears its ugly head. And she calls me up, and she screams and yells and rants and raves and has her meltdown. And the whole time I'm listening to her, I've got my eyes closed and I'm praying. And she'll say, are you listening to me? I am, sweetheart. I'm praying for you. What good is that going to do? I say, well, it helps me. And then she'll hang up on me, and then she'll call me back and apologize. And so, you know, I'm constantly applying the traditions, especially tradition two, in my personal life, because I know I can't fix her. I know it's between her and the God of her understanding. It scares me when she gets that way, because I'm afraid she's going to do harm to herself or her boys. And, but like I said, God's in charge. You know, I have to believe that God's not going to let anything bad happen to Nicole or my little boys. I have to believe that if I say the serenity prayer 100,000 times a day, it's going to help me. It's going to put me in a place of serenity. You know, I didn't understand the serenity prayer when I first got here. You know, what does that mean? I don't understand what that means. And someone sat down and explained to me what it meant. You know, things I cannot change. That's everything. People, places, things, all of it. Oh, okay. Courage to change the things I can. Well, that's me and my attitudes and my outlook and how I respond to whatever's going on. And then the wisdom to know the difference. So if it doesn't have to do with me getting right-sized and getting my brain aligned with what my higher power wants for me, then like my son said, it's none yet. It is none of my damn business. And so, you know, I live with a sober alcoholic. I love my husband immensely, but there are days when I just go in the bathroom and just go, really? Did you really just say that to me? Did you really just say that? And then I remember, sometimes I have to call my sponsor and she'll say, it's the disease talking. And I'm like, oh God, you're right. But I forget. You know, my husband was sober before I met him. I've never seen him take a drink. I've never seen him transform into that person. But I forget that I've got to turn over my relationship with my husband, how I respond to my husband when he says whatever he says, and to know that when I really get my panties in a bunch and I'm like, oh, indignant, I can't believe he said that. I go in another room and I look in the mirror and I go, okay, when was the last time that you were irritable, restless, and discontent, Cindy? When was the last time you were kind of a pain in the butt? And I go, right, okay. So, you know, it's really easy for me to think that I've got it all going on. I'm Miss Al-Anon of the year. You know, they don't give out those awards, right? There is no trophy for Miss Al-Anon of the year. That would be a really scary thing, in my opinion. So, you know, God is so good. I've been in program a long time, and I keep going to meetings because I hear what I need to hear. I love when there's a newcomer in the room and they share so honestly, and they share exactly where their heart is at. And sometimes they share in such a way that it brings back that newcomer grief, that anguish that I felt when I first got to the rooms. But the meetings I first went to in the Alondo Club, there were people in the rooms with 30, 40 years of recovery. And I was the new girl. And what God did for me in that meeting, it was a big meeting. And when I walked in the door, there was an empty chair next to the door. And it was always there. I went to that meeting Monday, Wednesday, Friday for years. And every time I showed up, that chair was empty. And it was meant to be. God did that for me because there were days when I wanted to run out of the room. So the fact that I was right next to the door and I could sneak out if I had to, I never did, but I had that option. And I would listen to people share, and I would hear them talk about the gifts of recovery, and they would talk about that spiritual awakening that takes place as a result of working the steps. And I looked at the steps on the wall and I said, I'll do everything except 4 and 9, if that's okay. And they all laughed. They said, oh, honey, you know, you'll get there when you get there. And
Cindy, 1 minute warning, honey.
Thank you. So, you know, I just kept coming back. I keep coming back because I need to hear what I need to hear. I'm still teachable. I heard a speaker at a convention years ago, and he said, you don't know what you don't know, and you don't know until you know. And I thought, that's program in two sentences right there, because I should have known this and I should have done that. And why couldn't I have figured that out? To me, Al-Anon is one day at a time. It's surrendering to the God of my understanding. It's being teachable. It's having an attitude of gratitude. And it's just, you know, today I can say I love alcoholics, because it got me to the room of Al-Anon. And for that, I am extremely grateful. Thank you so much for letting me share tonight.
Thank you so much, Cindy. That was fantastic. Everyone give her a round of applause with the American Sign Language clap. Fantastic stuff. I'm looking for that Al-Anon award. so don't forget to send any questions that you have for Cindy to our moderator, Ricky, with the little three dots above her picture. You can just click on that and select chat and send anything that you'd like Cindy to answer to Ricky. So our next speaker is Christopher, and he's from Hereford, Arizona. And go ahead and unmute and share, Chris.
Good evening, everyone. So when I was asked to share tonight, I really didn't know what to do. I was thinking, because I've been asked a few months ago initially to speak. And for once, I think I was kind of at a loss for words and what I should actually share. And so when Tradition 2 came up and I started really reading and researching it, I am baffled at how simple the phrasing of the steps and traditions are, but how deep and rich they become. And I have only begun my recovery in Al-Anon for about 9 months. And we were one of the few Al-Anon groups in the state to, or at least in the Southwest region, to stay in person. And I was really struggling and I needed some guidance. I talked with a friend of mine who is now my sponsor, and he suggested Al-Anon. And I really was intrigued. And when I showed up for the group, it was all a bunch of newcomers just like me. And so really it was a couple of people that maybe had gone to two or three meetings more than me who took charge of the sessions and read through the items. And eventually I started taking the lead in doing the readings and opening and facilitating in the group. And then I said, there's got to be something more that I'm really missing. And thankfully, some individuals that have been working their program for quite a while started coming back and was able to really help me. And looking through tonight, I'm looking back at my thoughts during that first couple months of Al-Anon. And I knew God and I have a relationship with God for my whole life. But like many people, it was, I know God's in charge, but maybe I can just help him out. Maybe I can just give him this list of suggestions. Maybe if I could just do this or have this, things would be better. Things would be better in my life. And I got the newcomer welcome packet and I saw the just for today. And looking at the just for today, it's one of the things that I try to do every single day. And on the first page of that, it says, just for today, I will be agreeable. I will look as well as I can, dress becomingly, keep my voice low, be courteous, criticize not one bit. I won't find fault with anything nor try to improve or regulate anybody but myself. And that has really struck me, especially over the last month. Looking at who is the unseen member in the group, and the unseen member is part of the group conscience. If we really think about it, the group conscience manifests itself in some form with an understanding of the higher power. And so looking at who the unseen member is, it's somebody that's in the group who is able to understand what I'm going through. And I can share my feelings openly and honestly with him. And not only that, I don't have to end the meeting and leave the higher power there. The unseen member is a part of me and gets to come home with me. And I can have that lifelong dialogue with the higher power. And looking at the understanding of a trusted servant, I think I really had a misunderstanding of what it truly meant to be a leader and to be a servant. I spent 23 years in the military, and you know, you sometimes have to lead by ordering other people to do things that they don't want to do. And moving into the retired life, I had to come to a deeper understanding of what it means to truly lead and truly be a servant. And that is, I can't regulate anybody other than myself. No matter how much I want to, and no matter how much easier I think it would be if I simply just did things myself. So when I'm looking at this topic and how I've seen myself grow in the last few months, it's trying to understand, how can I lead and serve in a manner which other people would be happy to follow with me or walk beside me? Because I definitely don't have all the answers, even though I may want them or I may think I have them. And I realize that every single time I walk into the room for Al-Anon, that I am there because I am broken, I need help, and I am growing. And we're all on a journey together. So looking at that third reflection question for how to prepare, it's the how does tradition two help me let go of my need to control? I would say, just like with Cindy, it is a struggle day and day and day. And I really need to remember that I am not in control. My higher power is in control. And when I think I'm in control, that is when I am most definitely least in control. And when I look at that and have that reflection, there was the Just for Tonight, I had that a couple of months ago. And at one of our meetings, we brought this back out. And I was like, I need to dig out my copy as well. So I started going through the Just for Tonight again. And on the back of the Just for Tonight, it says, "Just for tonight, I will release my loved ones to my higher power's care. I will free myself from trying to do the impossible, changing the actions, attitudes, or life of anyone other than myself." And then I begin a mental inventory of the day of, when did I want to be in control? When was somebody else trying to lead and I stepped in and shut them down? How have I hurt their spiritual progress, their growth, by trying to take control? And in looking at my family life, trying to understand that what I say may not be what the other person hears. And it can be nonverbals that I'm giving off. It could be the tone I'm saying, or it could just be the language that we use. We're not on the same page. And so I have to take a step back and step out of my ego and say, you know what? Maybe I was in the wrong. You know, honey, let's talk about what you said. What did you hear me say? And listen. I was at work again today, and it's that old phrase that popped up on one of our PowerPoint presentations of God gave us two ears to listen and one mouth to speak. So that way we can listen twice as often as we speak. And I am really trying to learn that again. Somewhere in my life, I went from being this shy, quiet, introverted person to someone who wants to be a control freak. Because the alcoholic in my life had power over me, and I needed to have some semblance of control and order, which was a fallacy. And so now, looking back, I'm trying to get my life back in order by being able to say, I'm not in control, and I can only regulate myself. And so for me, again, as a newcomer, seeing this tradition too, and knowing I have a long way to go, and I am thankful. I am very thankful for Al-Anon and for everyone that has been supporting me and helping me grow in my journey. And so I want to say thank you. And thank you, Helene and Floann, Bettina, for asking me to speak tonight. So thank you.
Oh, fantastic. Thank you, Chris. Let's give him a round of applause with the clap from the American Sign Language. That was really good. If you have any questions for Chris, please send them to Ricky right now. You can tap on the upper right hand, I think it's that way, upper right hand corner of her screen, and then choose chat and send her a question that you'd like for Chris to answer. You can also send a general question that they all answer. Just let Ricky know who the question's for if you just want everybody to answer it. So our final speaker tonight is Sandra M., and she's coming to us also from Arizona. So if you'd like to unmute and share, welcome, Suzanne.
Thanks. Hi, I'm Sandra from Sedona. Glad to be here tonight. Nice to see some friendly faces that I know and certainly some faces I don't know. Glad to have you here. I wanted to talk about my service, how I started in service and how that affected me and tradition too and everything else. I started my Al-Anon experience in San Diego. I was living in San Diego, went because of my daughter. And like many, my first months in Al-Anon were just me crying. I would get there, but I couldn't talk, couldn't speak, couldn't share, could barely read, and I just cried. But after a few months, I had a old-timer come up to me and ask me if I'd like to be the treasurer. And I was fortunate. This was a group that did a lot of rotation of roles, and I thought, oh, I could do that. So I took on the role of treasurer. And, you know, I didn't know it then, but that hooked me. That hooked me. That service hooked me into Al-Anon because I was a responsible person. I had to be there. I had to collect the money. I had to tell them, how much money we had. I had to go to every meeting. And I went to meetings because of that service when I probably wouldn't have gone to meetings. So I was grateful. That was my first real step into service and my first step into what has become a long time with Al-Anon. And, you know, after I did that service and I kept coming back to meetings, I knew I felt better. And I took on other service roles, whether it was setting up chairs or being the secretary. We did a monthly Al-Anon birthday sharing. So I helped with the baking. But, you know, everything I did, every time I came back, I felt better. And when I was fortunate that this was a group that believed in the steps, believed in the traditions, and had a long relationship with the structure of Al-Anon. So when we always had a group rep, we had business meetings. And so when the group rep term was ending, they asked me if I would be interested. I went to a district meeting, my very first one. I didn't have a clue what they were talking about, but I was interested. They convinced me I could do it. My group voted me in and I became the group rep. And I went, you know, I went to a few district meetings and then I went to assembly. And assembly in Southern California, we went up, probably 8 or 10 of us from the district went up together on a train for the day. And I walked into this huge church with hundreds of Al-Anon members there. And I was just amazed. And I was awestruck that here were all these people who were volunteers, just like me. And we were talking about topics. We were voting on topics. We were talking about important things. And I looked around and realized, you know, no one was really in charge. There wasn't any chain of command, but we were all there. And it was amazing to me that we were all in this place doing this work, and it was an important work. And when I went back to my group and shared from assembly, or even when I shared from our district meetings, you know, my group was very grateful. They were very gracious. They thanked me for my service. And I remember at the time thinking, here are all these people that don't even know my last name, but they're very kind to me. They're very gracious. They're very grateful. And how could that be? How could I go from that experience to going home where I had an individual, this is my daughter, who had tried to do everything for, like everything that I possibly could do, and it was never the right thing. I was never doing the right thing. And it was such a contrast for me of how it was at home and how it was for me when I went to an Al-Anon meeting and provided that service. After my group rep role there, I did some other things, did the statewide AA convention with Al-Anon participation, met a whole bunch of people. And again, saw people in different roles, all doing things, all working, things all coming together, people discussing, people making decisions based on a group conscience. But again, that idea of no one in charge, lots of conversation about our higher power, but no person other than our higher power in charge. So when I moved to Arizona, I again was fortunate to find a group that did the steps, did the traditions, used the 12 and 12 book, and again, supported the structure of Al-Anon, business meetings, had a group rep. Our group rep was nearing the end of his term, and I jumped at the opportunity to take on the group rep role here. I felt comfortable in the role, but it was again a lesson, you know, as we talk about tradition too, it was a lesson in a number of things. It was a lesson in listening to really understand what the group conscience was. I had an opinion, others had opinions, we all had opinions. But when I went to vote, when I represented my group at area, it was important that I listened to all of the opinions and understood the group conscience and took that with me to the area when I voted. And what was also so wonderful is the whole trusted servant concept, because my group knew that things would come up at meetings at area that I might not have been able to discuss with them. And they were very clear, Sandra, we trust you. You're our trusted servant. You do what you think is the right thing, and it'll be the right thing. And that was such a wonderful feeling to have that trust of the group, and to be trusted in that way to represent them. After my first area meeting, we didn't have a district rep, and I decided I would volunteer for that. I wanted to give back to Al-Anon what Al-Anon had so freely given to me. And I was at a point in my life, when we moved to Arizona, that was my retirement. I had the time. I was interested. I was interested in seeing what this new role would be. You know, how was that different than the group rep role? And so I did that. And what a wonderful experience that was. I, again, had to listen to others. I had to know I was not in charge, that I was not in control, that we all had experiences, different experiences, and that we would come to a group conscience and move forward from there. And the other thing I learned, I think, was the importance of being a good role model. And when I visited all my, as a district rep, I visited all my groups. And when they had a group rep who was in the position, I would compliment them because it was so important to have, I let them know how important it was to have their voice represented, you know, at the district level and then on to the area level. And if they didn't have a group rep in place, I would let them know that we were missing their voice. That's that whole structure of Al-Anon, that our voice goes from the group, goes to the district, goes to the area, goes to WSO, and that we were missing that. And I also tried to share with them as a role model how important service had been to me and to my own recovery. And again, how that first service really hooked me into what I'm doing today. The other thing about the district rep role was that it kept me very busy. And, you know, I had, when we talk about tradition too and letting go of control, I have a distinct memory of driving to Flagstaff. That's where our district meetings were. And I'm in the car driving to Flagstaff, and I got a call from my sister-in-law. And at this time, my daughter lived about 30 miles away from me. My sister-in-law lived about 4 hours away. And my sister-in-law and my daughter are very close. And my sister-in-law called me. And again, I'm driving on my way to my district meeting. And she said, Sandra, I just got off the phone with my daughter. And she said, I'm really worried about her. She's really drinking. She sounds really distraught. She said, I was on the phone. She said, I think you should go over there. And I just paused and I said, you know, Val, I'm on my way to a meeting. And I also know that talking to my daughter while she's in the throes of her drinking is not a good idea. It's useless. I'm not talking to my daughter. I would be talking to the disease. I've done it so many different times. And I said, what I have learned through Al-Anon is I have no control over that. I have no control over my daughter and her choices and her outcomes. So no, I am not going to go over and check on her. I'm going to my meeting. And my sister-in-law knows about Al-Anon. She doesn't go, but I did, for her birthday, I have to admit, I did give her a subscription to the forum more than once. But she said, you're right. I hear you. And I said, you know, I just don't have that control. It's outside my hula hoop. And that's what tradition two and the steps and everything have given me in terms of recognizing where I have control and where I do not. And when it comes to my daughter, it's pretty clear I don't have any. But, you know, my daughter survived that night. She has survived, continues to survive. And I had a wonderful meeting. But that whole thing about when I get busy, I get better, that was part of it. Because being busy helped me focus on me, which is where I needed to focus, and not on my daughter. After my district rep role, I moved into an area coordinator role. When my district rep role came to an end, I realized I was going to miss all these wonderful people that I'd met in the area. And when I was offered a coordinator position, it didn't take me long to say yes. But some of you know, this was a brand new position. And so I was kind of finding my way. But, you know, this is Al-Anon. And what I know is I can ask for help. And I know that people aren't going to be critical and they're not going to be mean and they're going to accept it if I'm not perfect. And that's, you know, that's how it's been. And, you know, one of my responsibilities as an area events coordinator is to find a room in the hotel the night before the meeting, because that's when the officers meet. So I always find a room in the hotel, make sure it's set up. And so one of my first Friday nights, you know, new job on my first Friday nights, I was setting up the room and an older gentleman came in and he said, "Now, how much longer are you going to be here?" And I said, "Well, I've got about 15 minutes more of setup." And I said, "And then our meeting starts." And he said, "Oh no," he said, "I have this room booked." And, you know, I kind of panicked and then my mind started racing. Oh my God, how did I miss this? What did I do? What are we going to do? What am I going to tell the officers? Can we meet in the lobby? Well, that won't be very confidential. But you know what? I remember I have a higher power. And so I just said a little quick little prayer, "God, need some help here." And so this gentleman and I walked out to the front of the receptionist area and kind of explained our dilemma. And it turned out he was in the wrong room. The hotel, I was fine. But you know, it's another lesson in I do the footwork, my higher power helps me out. And it all worked out fine. And I don't even know if people knew we were, you know, had that sort of mild calamity, or I had the mild calamity before it happened. But I've given up mostly on the perfection. Not always, but sometimes I still go there. But
just a 1 minute warning.
Okay, and I'm done. I just want to say how grateful I am to Al-Anon. I've met so many wonderful people in the program, heard so many wonderful stories. And I wouldn't have done that if it hadn't been really for service. And again, that first getting hooked in Treasure and then the other roles. So grateful to be in Al-Anon, grateful to be here tonight. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Sandra. Thank you very much for being okay with me being human as well. You're not Suzanne, you are Sandra. Thank you very much for speaking. That was fantastic. Everyone give her a round of applause with the American Sign Language clap. All right, so don't forget to send your questions for Sandra to Ricky, our moderator. And I am going to, turn it over to Ricky so that she can use the rest of our time, the next 30 minutes, to get your questions answered. So you can continue to send questions in even during the Q&A period. So go right ahead and do that. And I will go cold mic. And Ricky, it's all you.
Thank you, Flo. Okay, great shares. I really enjoyed everybody. Thank you all so much for saying yes when you were asked to speak on this topic. I've only got one question and one comment, which I'm going to get back to. I'll let you know. But if I get any questions, I'll let you know who the question is for or if it's open to all of you. Please keep your answers brief, 2 minutes or less, so we can answer as many questions as possible. If you're on the phone and have a question, you can use *9 to raise your hand to let me know. And when I call your name, you can unmute. Anyway, the question I got that I thought was very good, and it leads me to a question. The comment was, "We are all recovering newcomers. Some are just a bit more new than others. And to our the people that, oops, I'm losing myself here. Since that was actually spurred on by Christopher sharing, Cindy or Sandra, would either of you like to talk about this feeling of being new or, you know, more new? You know, I know every day sometimes I feel like a newcomer again, or humility. So I'll start and I'll ask that question of Cindy.
Yeah, our meeting the other night was on humility. And, you know, when I first came to program, I heard humiliation, which I'd had a lifetime of. And then someone very gently explained to me that humility is being teachable. It's being relying on God. It's not putting myself first, like knowing that God has a better plan than I do for myself and my loved ones. So, yeah, and there's some days where I've been in program long enough to know better. And there's days when I just, I'm in my high chair banging on my tray and I'm just, you know, and then I get a tap on the shoulder from God and God just says, you know, oh, remember how much I love you and you're going to be okay. You know, this too shall pass. I love all the slogans and I use them all the time. So thank you for letting me share.
Thanks, Cindy. Sana, do you want to answer that or comment on that in some way?
Sure. I actually had a reading and I wish I can't remember exactly where I saw it, but it actually said, we're actually all experts because we've all had the experience that we share that our experience, strength and hope. And we're all newcomers because we continue to grow and change. And I thought that was such a great quote. I wish it's in one of our Cal books, maybe How Al-Anon Works. But I thought that was such a great thing because I can, you know, for myself, I am changing. I am still growing. And so there's a lot about me that's still new, but there's a lot of wisdom in sometimes what, you know, sort of the brand new newcomers share. We can always learn. And there's some other quotes that talk about, you know, anyone can be my Al-Anon teacher. And that's so true. You know, some of the newcomers come in and I think Cindy had said earlier, you know, it takes you back to those times when you were that newcomer coming into the room and how painful that was. And it gives us a chance to look at our growth and see how we've changed over time. But that quote that I saw about, you know, everybody's a newcomer and everybody's an expert. And I think that's true.
Thanks, Sandra. I have one question, but before I get to that, Clem has offered to share for a couple of minutes on this topic. So I'd like to hear from you, Clem.
Thank you, Ricky. So I'm going to read a couple of paragraphs out of the Al-Anon 12 and 12 under Tradition 2. And the first one is this. It says, another source of difficulty can arise with sponsorship. It is important to make clear the distinction between guidance and advice. Guidance comes through sharing, listening, explaining the program, and pointing out choices available. Guidance never imposes a decision on someone else or dictates a course of action. The use of this tradition will prevent a sponsor from assuming authority over the member being sponsored. It offers protection to them both. And then the other paragraph is, the progress of the members can be endangered when someone forgets that there is but one authority. This authority is not an individual member or even a clique that considers itself special. No one speaks for God. It is a loving God as expressed to each of us who forms our group conscience. And when I was new in sponsorship, I was scared to death when I got my first sponsor, you know, because I was so worried about screwing it up and, you know, making this guy's life miserable. But my sponsor very gently guided me and said, look, just guide him in doing the steps the way you did them. And, you know, just through experience, strength, and hope, help him work his program. And, you know, if he wants to do it, fine. And if he doesn't want to do it, that's up to him. You can't do it for him. And so that was a wonderful thing. And, you know, I find that that's so true throughout this program, that our God, whatever our higher power, whatever we choose to call it, him, her, you know, it's between us and them. It's between me and my higher power. And I also know that there is a God and I'm not it. And so I've got to do what's right for the other members of the program. So, Ricky, thank you for letting me share.
Unmute. Okay. I have a question for Sandra. What a great example of talking to the disease for a non-Al-Anon trying to shoot you into something you knew was futile. Did you need to explain further to help that person understand, or did they get it or struggle?
Well, this is, as I said, this was my sister-in-law, and she and my daughter actually lived with her for quite a while. So she did get it. But, you know, I got it too, but it still took me, I can't say that detachment came easy. It was something I had to work on for a long, long time, and to recognize what was within my control and what wasn't. And, you know, you can get it mentally, but sometimes in your heart, you still think that you can make it better, you can control it, you can, you know, you just want the best for them. And so yes, she got it, but you know, detachment is a tough one. It's a tough one, and it's one that I know I've had to work on over and over again. And I'm so much better off. You know, I think about, like I said, I have a distinct memory of that day. And I remember realizing how before Al-Anon, I would have gone over there. I would have tried to find the words and tried to figure out what it was I needed to do to, you know, to get her back on track. And I would have left feeling defeated and hopeless and helpless. But because of the program and just that continuous learning that I don't have control, you know, one of the word pictures that helped me a lot one time was that one of the members said to me, I wrap up my loved one in their favorite comforter and I hand her off to God. And I heard that very early in program. And that was a great word picture for me because it was my daughter. And I thought I was responsible. I had to make this better. And when I finally recognized that, no, I am not her higher power. She has her own higher power and I have no control over this. It was a great relief for me. And that it was the detachment and that constant message about that, that helped me get there. So I'm sorry, that was a long answer to a short question. Did she get it? Yes, she got it. But like all of us, sometimes it takes a while.
Thanks, Sandra. Christopher, how have others helped you succeed in service? And don't forget to unmute.
Oh my goodness.
Big question.
It is a big question. They're there to help me every step of the way. I was asked to, we needed volunteers to be a group rep. And I said, well, I didn't really say anything. For some reason, my higher power decided to raise my hand for me. And I really didn't know what it entailed or anything like that. And so I'm still learning and I'm still sometimes missing our district meetings. I'm sorry, Sonia and Flo Ann, but I'm trying and that's the key. And I'm learning, and the group members help me every step of the way. And I rely on them to be able to help me out. And especially if I'm on the wrong path, and since I don't know what I'm doing half the time, they really show me the way. And along that path as well is there are books, there are guides that give those steps for us. And it doesn't dictate everything, but it at least gives us a guide. And so I think for me, it's listening to those that have been doing this for a while and have done those types of roles before, but also in a broader sense, looking at my work, my home life, and realizing, you know, not everybody has the right answer, but maybe somebody has a part of an answer that works for me. And that has helped me tremendously.
To Cindy, give some examples of when feelings of obligation, coercion, and hesitation have made you say yes or no to participation in Al-Anon.
When I first started attending program, I went to this meeting that a friend had recommended, and there was all these women, there were a few men, all these women that were really, like, they really knew, they walked the talk, and they really knew. And so they said, because I was afraid of being in service, because I'd do it wrong, I'd mess it up, and they said, we go to this convention every year, and there's four or five of us in the room, and you're going to come with us, and it's going to be like a slumber party for 3 days, and you're going to have two nights, 3 days, we're going to have a great time. So let your family know you're going to be gone. I'm like, that sounds like fun. So while I was there, they said, okay, for the next 2 hours, we're going to go sit at this table and sell tickets for the luncheon. And that was my introduction to being of service. And then the next convention, they'd say, because it took about 60 people to put on the Al-Anon convention in Southern California. Okay, next year, the six of us are going to do decorations. The next year, the six of us are going to do literature. And so I just showed up because it was fun and it was an opportunity to get back. And I met a lot of people. I didn't really know a lot of people in Al-Anon. And I became a GR and I was a secretary and a treasurer and all kinds of things for meetings. And then when I moved to Arizona, I knew how, you know, when I got busy, I got better. Absolutely. I stayed busy because I knew I didn't want to go backwards. And so I showed up to events, and in Tucson before the COVID, we had ice cream socials and we had Founders Day and we had all kinds of fun things where it was an opportunity to be a service. And I became a GR, I'm an area officer now. And the only time I've ever said no to being a service is if I have a conflict. I just know that in Southern California, my experience was they take service very seriously, and you do not say, oh, I'm not in the mood. You know, they kind of hold your feet to the fire. And I'm glad that I had that experience because it helped me know that if everybody does their part, it gets done. It doesn't, you know, watching a committee of 60 people put on a convention for 1,200 people was remarkable. And I looked around the room and we're all doing our part. The chairperson didn't have to do everything. The treasurer didn't have to do everything. And so it was really good to be, service was presented as something fun, and it's an activity to get involved with fun people. And I've always enjoyed being of service. Sometimes it's stressful, but even the great stuff in my life, I have two wonderful dogs, and sometimes they stress me out beyond belief. So, you know, even the blessings in life have challenges. And there was something I wanted to share about earlier about with my daughter. One of the best pieces of, wasn't advice, it was a woman and her daughter. They're both adults attending meeting. And the woman said, the reason why she and her daughter have such a great relationship is because she treats her daughter like a sponsee. She doesn't tell her what to do. She shares her experience, strength, and hope, and doesn't give her advice. And I just about fell out of my chair. My daughter wasn't a teenager yet. And you know, that's one of the pieces of advice, not advice, that's the wrong word. That was something that was shared that I took to heart. And that's what I do with my daughter. Some she'll say, just tell me what to do. And I'll say, well, let's talk about it. Let's talk about the pros and cons. And she gets really frustrated with me because she knows I want to tell her what to do, but it's not my place. So that was a huge, so if I didn't go to that meeting, I would never have heard that. That's what I'm saying. It's important for me to go to meetings because I always hear something that, oh, I can use that later. Thank you.
Thank you. I just want to pick up my first experience in service. I don't know if I want to use the word coercion or manipulation, but it was so-and-so needs a ride to the workshop. Would you drive her? So that got me to the workshop. It was just that subtle little, you know, and that's how people got me involved. I also heard a lot in the beginning, don't say no if you want to grow. So, you know, that I kept, and anybody I sponsored knew they were getting into service. Anyway, I have a question for Chris. I was asked to be a group rep, but I said no because I'm too scared I'll screw it up. Do you think I should reconsider?
Well, I can't make a decision for you, obviously, but I can say that being a group rep has definitely helped me grow. And it's something that, as I shared in my talk, it helped me understand really what a trusted servant really means. And it doesn't mean that you have to take on a lot of work either. It means that you just need to be available. And then there are certain, obviously, other obligations that you need to do. But there's always going to be somebody there that is going to assist you, and you're not going to fail. And that's the big key. So I would say, if you wish to reconsider, talk with your higher power. And if you still feel compelled to serve in that capacity, consider it. But I will say this, is don't do it simply because somebody told you have to do it. Do it because it's your choice. And that's listening again to your higher power. And for me, yeah, I was definitely had some fear there, but for some reason that hand shot straight up in the air. So my suggestion is don't be afraid of it, but pray about it and think about it.
Thanks, Chris. And also get a service sponsor. You know, it's another thing. Okay. Sandra, how do you not feel like you're just spinning your wheels if seeing no progress in the alcoholic? That was to Sandra.
I've come to recognize it's not my business. What my daughter does, what her choices are, what her outcomes are, it's not my business. It doesn't mean that I don't love my daughter. One of the things that was really helpful in Al-Anon was learning the difference that, you know, people talk about acceptance, and it took me a while to realize, and then someone finally said it, acceptance does not mean approval. So I don't have to, I can accept my daughter. I can accept my daughter for who she is and what she does, but I now know that doesn't mean I'm saying, yes, I think it's great, all these bad choices you're making. But that's really helpful for me. I'm not approving it, but I'm accepting. I'm accepting of my daughter just as she is. And that's what's helped me. And, you know, is she spinning her wheels? I don't know. It's taken me a while to realize I don't know what someone else is thinking. I don't know what is always driving their decisions and their choices. I think I know my daughter pretty well, but I'm not her. And I can't make her me. I can't make her make the choices that I would like her to make, because that's what I think is best. And so now I just let it go. It's that let go and let God. I let her do what she's going to do. I let her make the choices and have the outcomes as a result of her choices. But it doesn't distress me. I don't agonize over it like I did, 10 or more years ago when I came into the program. I'm not awake all night trying to think about what are the best words. What can I say it? When can I say it? What is it that's going to make the change for her? She's her own person, and accepting her as that has allowed me to live my life a lot happier.
Thanks, Sandra. I'm out of questions, so I'm going to throw it out to anybody on the floor. You got 2 minutes if you have had an aha moment or want to share your experience, strength, and hope on anything having to do with what we've talked about tonight. Oh, don't all jump up at once. The teacher says if nobody volunteers, well, thank you, Kathy.
I can relate to, Christopher, yeah, where he said someone suggested something and they found themselves raising their hand. And you guys know, just recently, yes, it was kind of like, okay, it was this big void, and all of a sudden, I'll do it. I'm going, what am I saying? So I can relate to that. But it, like everyone says, it'll work out. There's a lot of people out there to help you do service, and you do the best you can. And that's what I like about Al-Anon. If you do the best you can, everyone's accepting of what you do. They're not going to yell and scream at you. They're not going to put you down. It's an affirming experience, So that's my sharing. Thank you.
I will turn this back over. Let's see where. Anyway, I thought tonight was really good. We just sort of had a good mix of speakers and questions. But our time is just about up. So I'd like to thank everybody again who shared in addition to our three speakers. So I'll turn it now back over to our chairperson, Flo Ann.
Thank you, Ricky. Oh, thank you. This has been a fabulous workshop. Thank you all. All the ones that asked questions, answered questions, all three of our speakers. It's been a fabulous workshop. Let's give them all another round of applause. Fantastic, guys. We are going to close with the Al-Anon Declaration. Feel free to unmute if you know it. And let it begin with me. When anyone
or anywhere help,
let the hand of Al-Anon always and let it begin with me. Woohoo! Fantastic. Thank you so much. What a great workshop.